tonight I want to get into a higher dimension of these waters, because that's what I do. I go out there and I look at everything's out there in the promised land. I come back and say, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. Finally, after 14 years, the Lord is bringing us to the land of demonstration, and He's starting to show us where the demonstration is, how it comes into the earth. It is a finished work. The demonstration's a finished work. You just got to know how it works. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost is here for. He's here to teach us, to train us. And so I've already taught 4 messages on this in fullness. They're already on the website with the sermon notes. I would really encourage you to spend a lot of time in these messages on the blessing that's in the water. But tonight we're going to take it to another level. I want to show you where the creative realm lives and how your faith will be absolutely multiplied. Go to Ezekiel 47. We'll begin there. I'll be talking out of Ezekiel 47. We're going to be in Genesis. We're going to be in Revelation. We're going to be in John. Tonight, we're going to explore the creative realm of God. More importantly, how we can function in the creative realm of God. God has set a pattern. He has not deviated from it. From Genesis to Revelation, when God gets ready to do something new, He has a pattern in which He does things. Amen? We have found the pattern. Well, you'll know it tonight. Now, we're talking about the waters. The waters are so small you can drink from, and they're so large they'll transform the entire earth. Now, the measure in which they flow is determined on your revelation of them, your faith that you have, and what the waters is and how the water works and the time you spend speaking to it. And more importantly, like tonight, what we're going to talk about is abiding in them, in the water. There was a very prominent evangelist. I'm not going to mention his name for personal reasons, but I knew this person and I had a conversation with him, and he had an incredible gift of miracles and power upon his life. And I asked him, I said, what's the number one thing? I know there's a lot of things, but just give me the number one thing that causes that operation. And his word to me was soaking. He said, soaking in the presence of God. And I said, well, that was simple enough. Of course, I don't think he actually knew what he said that day, but I absolutely know now what he's talking about. Amen. Now, we're going to get into baptism. Not the kind of baptism you're thinking of, like baptism. Well, it is baptism water, but not the one, you know, you do after you're born again. I'm going to show you how the creative realm of God works. I'm going to give you about 6 or 7 examples from the old all the way to the new of how to release the creative realm of God and how the Holy Spirit actually releases that in and through us. Amen. Let's go back to one of our theme chapters, Ezekiel 47. I'm going to talk to you out of the NIV. I'm meditating along, and the Lord said, I didn't bring him out into the water. I led him into the water. And he goes, if you'll check another translation, it'll show you that. He said that to me. So I went and checked it, and I found it with the NIV. So we're going off the reservation just a little bit because the NIV got it right. Glory to God. Ezekiel 47 is real important. He said the man in the Amplified calls him the guide. Now he's leading Ezekiel, and you know the story. He leads him around the outer court of the temple and over by the eastern wall, and he watches the water begin to break out of the right side of the temple. It broke out from underneath the temple from the foundation stones, really the right side, which was Christ, the foundation stone, seated on the right hand of God. It breaks out. That's where the water was breaking out. I want to get to the next part of the water when it begins to move, because he takes Ezekiel out into the water. And the Lord asked me a question. He goes, why did I take him out in the water? I said, I don't know, Lord, why? And he says, why was it necessary that he go overhead in the water? And once he got into a position overhead, he brought him right back out of the water. Now, you need to understand that Ezekiel was the church in this picture here. The church has to come out into these waters, and they have to come back. So he begins in verse 2. He says, he brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. He's on the east gate where the water's flowing towards the Dead Sea. It's flowing out the south side of the altar, or the right hand, your Bible say, the right side of the altar and the right hand of God. Verse 3, As the man went eastward with his measuring line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And this is, he led me through the water that was ankle deep. Now, the thing you want to underline, very important. He led me. The Holy Spirit is leading you into the water. Ezekiel is like the church has to come into the water. And right now, if the church is in the water, that's about as far the church has gotten is ankle deep. Ankle deep will never produce the creative realm. Neither will knee deep, neither will loin deep. It'll produce certain movements, but it will never produce the true creative realm of God. So, goes on to say, he led me to the waters that were knee deep. He led me to the waters that were to the loins. And then, I want you to recognize this. Verse 5, he measured off 1,000, and it was a river. Say, it was a river that I could not cross. Now, all this water broke out of the temple of God. This is a spiritual picture. There's no natural water flowing out of the temple like this ever that flowed to the Dead Sea. That's not going to happen. This was a spiritual that broke out of the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. He said, out of your temple, out of your innermost being would flow rivers. And in fact, he talked about a double river here in verse 9. And he says, it shall come to pass that everything that liveth and moveth whithersoever the rivers are the two rivers. If you have a King James, you'll have a letter by that word rivers. And it'll, if you'll go look at that letter down on the bottom of your page, you'll say two rivers are double rivers. And we got into that. I can't get into that tonight. But we know one of them went over. Zechariah told us one of them went to the Mediterranean Sea, which was the Sea of Commerce. One went to the Dead Sea. Now, watch what he says. He measured verse 5. And now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, waters to swim in. Say, waters to swim in, waters to be baptized in. You've got to get this picture that the Holy Spirit and the Lord himself is actually leading us out, leading the church out into the depths of the water. He's going to take us further out in this generation. He's going to bring us where the early church was for sure. We're going fully into the waters. It must go overhead. It's waters to swim in. That's a very important part of this. Once it reached the baptism level where it was overhead, then he took him back to the shoreline. He walked him back. He led him back to the shoreline. He saw trees on the shoreline. It was at that point, this is amazing, that the waters then begin to flow into the Dead Sea. And it says, whithersoever these waters would go, anything that was dead would be made whole. In fact, he said the Dead Sea would be made whole. I want you to see something here. If you'll look at verse 8, he said unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. That's the Dead Sea, which being brought forth into the Dead Sea, the waters would be healed. The Dead Sea is the salt sea. And he said, these waters would be healed. This living water, once the church or Ezekiel went out overhead, something happened that gave the living waters authority because man was now interacting with the living water. And that's a very important principle I'll get into in a minute. But when man walked back out, these waters had creative life in them. And wherever these creative waters went, if something was dead, it would be made whole. The Dead Sea, which is the Dead Sea of humanity, would be made whole. There's salvation there. There's healing. There's sozo. There's deliverance. There's fullness in those waters. Amen. Now watch this. And it came to pass, verse 9, that everything that liveth and moveth, whithersoever the two rivers should come, they will live. Say it will live. Wherever the two rivers would come would live. That means life would be granted to a dead world. Pure, unadulterated life. The church right now as a whole is expressing probably 90 to 95% of the church's expression is through the gift realm. That is not what we're talking about. The gift realm has very little to do with what's flowing out of you. The gift realm just comes on you. Do you understand that? When you have a gift that you've been separated to, you can live like the devil most of the time if you want to, and that gift will come on. You won't be able to do it very long because living like the devil, you'll reap what you sow. It'll come out. the public. The gift has little to do with you. Do you understand? It's a gift and callings without repentance. That's why you see that. That's not what we're talking about here. This river right here is flowing directly out of the temple of God. It has everything to do with your walk and everything. And there shall be, look at this, be a very great multitude of fish. There is no fish in the salt sea. There's little minnows, but there's no big fish. They can't live in the salt sea. This is talking about the tongues, tribes, and nations of Revelation. There's a great multitudes of fish because these waters shall come thither into the Dead Sea of humanity. It will be healed, and everything that live wherever this river cometh. What that means is those that are captured under the bondage of the God of this world system, when the river flows in, they'll be snatched out. They'll be made whole. There's salvation in these rivers. There's healing glory in these rivers. Now we know that. But I want to take you now to the creative realm. And I was going along just meditating into this, and the Spirit of the Lord says, from the beginning of the world to the end, He said, I have already released the mystery of creation. More importantly, the mystery of my creative nature. All you have to do is see it. And here's what He said. It's always, get this, always in the water. Right now, what the church is looking for is in the water. So I thought I'd just go back to the very beginning since He said that. And I did. Y'all ready to go to the very beginning? You're going to hear the book of Genesis in a brand new way tonight. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's very amazing here. The earth was without form, it was void, and it was empty. Okay? And darkness was upon the face of the waters. You do understand that when God started, there was nothing but water. There was no earth standing up out of the water. There was no mountains or hills. Everything was in a liquid state. And it was in darkness. Everything was in water. Everything was underwater. God doesn't create anything until He puts it under the water. Jesus never did one miracle until He was baptized into the water. He says, you must fulfill righteousness. I must go under the water. That was more than just saying death, burial, and resurrection. You're going to find out the whole creative realm of God lives under the water. Now, He shows you in the natural, because not only in the natural, but also in the supernatural, you need to keep in mind, we're not talking about water here. So don't go jump in a pool tonight. You understand, we're talking about living water. A substance that flows, it's eternal. More importantly, it's inside you. And it's been inside you since the day you were born again. He gave you two promises. He goes, I'll put it in you and I'll bring it out of you. Say, He put it in me and He's going to bring it out of me. Now, what you have to understand is what's in that water. He said it was without form and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving. He was hovering. He was brooding on the face of the waters. There was nothing of substance anywhere. There was no form of anything. It was all water. And the Holy Spirit was brooding over it. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does with the living water inside you. It's His job to hover over it, to brood over it. And when He gets the confession, let there be, He'll start manifesting the water. He'll start materializing what's in the water. Now, the very first thing that has to happen is what's happened 2 weeks ago, verse 3. Let there be light. And there was light. The first thing light did was show you that there was water. That's the only thing you could see when the light showed up was the water everywhere. When the light came on, there's nothing but water. You could see the water. Why is that important? How many of you know you've been carrying water on the inside of you? But if you don't know what it is, you know why we don't know what to do with it? Because we have no revelation of it. You can't see it. So we have to say, let there be light. And the Holy Ghost turned the water up in the last 2 weeks and showed us what's in that water. That water, the most simplest way I can tell you, is the fullness of Christ. Everything he inherited as the appointed heir of the Father, including a king priest government, is in that water. Your full inheritance, the blessing of all your generations, salvation to the nations, miracles, signs, wonders, testimony, righteous peace and joy, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing, love, peace, favor. You got to get a revelation of the water or you won't be able to bring it forward. More importantly, you will bring forward what you see. Now, Rodney Howard Brown had a move one time and they brought forth the joy. That's what they were looking at. Different moves bring forth different expressions. That water is what they see. The faith, in particular the prosperity movement, they see the prosperity in the water. Guess what? You can judge them all day long. They bring it up. I've done that before. But now I see a whole government in that water. More importantly, I see the creative realm of God. But it's all underwater, and that's very good. We want everything under the water. If it's not under the water, it's not going to produce. You can write that down. That's God's most difficult task, is getting you out where Ezekiel was, getting the church to waters to swim in. There's a reason why he had to get us all the way under the water. We're not far enough out. We stopped and said, oh, I think I want to go change the world. And you start employing what? Waters of the flesh. The sweat of the brow. The church is operating in way too much of that kind of stuff. They just don't know it. They wouldn't call it that. Now, the Holy Spirit's hovering. He says, let there be light. So now we get a revelation. We got a revelation of the water. Now look at verse 6. God had to do something very important in creation. He separates the waters. God's done an amazing thing for us. He's put water in us, under us, and above us. Hey, God rains on you. Except like if you're in Texas and you're waiting on the rain and it's not raining because we haven't had the visitation, you're in trouble. Unless you got a well. And you know you got a well. And when it's not raining, I love it when it's raining. It's easy when it's raining. When God shows up and starts raining, it's awesome until he stops raining. Then we're going, what happened to the rain? What do? You go back to the well. Christians are the only people I know when it stops raining, stands out there and says, the well's right there next to him. God, I need more rain. Here's God. Right there, right next to you, the well. More importantly, I put it inside you. It stopped raining, God. Yeah, I know, but I got an eternal source of it inside you. It shall be in you a well springing up. Springing up. But if you don't know what to do with that well or how to get it to flow, you're going to have to wait on the next season of rain. And that's some pretty hard living. Living that I have decided I'm going to have nothing to do with anymore. I'm not waiting on the cycle of rain. I just decided to prime the pump because I know what's in there. I got a revelation. Why? Because let there be light. The Holy Ghost moves on the water for a reason, to show you what's in it. He's brooding. His very first thing he's going to do is give you light of what's in that water. He's going to give you a revelation of what's going to flow out of you. What's flowing in you. Without revelation, you don't know where to go drink. You don't know where to go live. You certainly don't know how to get it out. Everyone say, let there be light. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament. I love these words. That's the atmosphere, the canopy, the space, the expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, there's still no land visibly anywhere. Just like a little baby in a womb. It's all encapsulated in water. The mystery of creation is in creation. The mystery of God's creative power is in creation. If you want to know where his creative power is, just watch how he creates things. Because it's all over the place. He creates it by submerging it into water first. The earth was submersed into water. It actually was water. He created it out of the water. The expanse of water. So what he did when he divided the waters, he made the heavens and the clouds and the atmosphere and the skies. And that was the water that would come down. And then he separated the water. All you could see was light at this point in creation. There was light. There was water on the surface and atmosphere and clouds. He separated the waters, put them above and below and light. But there was still no land. There's no substance. There's no fruit. Where are we looking for the substance? It's still under the water, and it needs to be under the water. We need to be under the water. We're not living in the right place. That's why we're not getting the results we need. But thank God the Holy Spirit was sent to take the church out into the deep waters. Everyone say, Father, take me out into the deep. Now, it's your revelation of the water is what the Holy Spirit uses to take you out there. I'm going to say that again. It's your revelation of the waters is what the Holy Spirit uses to take you out into the water. So he divides the water. Still, there's no land. There's no fruit. There's no substance. But it's there. It's in the water. It's right where it needs to be. The Holy Spirit started teaching me this thing in reverse. He started teaching me how to get the water to flow out of the rock. Actually, the latter half of it, the first half is how to get yourself submerged into the water. Because when you come up out of the water, something's happened. All right. Verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above. So he creates sky and he has the depths. Water below, water above. But there's no land yet. But it's there. He's ready now. And in verse 9, and God said, let waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now, when that dry land, those waters started departing off the dry land, and he set the boundaries of the waters that they could not pass over. And when he did, that earth that come up out of that water was some kind of fertile soil. It was ready then to multiply because it had been under a divine process of incubation of God's water. You are made 50 to 70% of your body is water. Now, if we as a church don't come under the incubation process of water, we're trying to get God to multiply, but we haven't soaked enough under a baptism of living water. And because of that, we're trying to get God to do something out of the way in which he birthed. All right. Now, let's go to the next one. Go to chapter 2. Let's look at the creation of Adam. Adam is a unique creation. Eve was an even more unique creation. Chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of heaven and earth. Now, he's going to go back and revert back into creation here in chapter 2. And the day the Lord made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field, verse 5, before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground yet. So there's no rain coming on the earth yet. Now, he's going to speak about the creation of Adam here, but I want you to notice what happens. Now, you know, Adam's created out of the dust, and then God breathes the ruach, right? Okay, he's created out of the dust. That's why when your body goes back, it decomposes into the dust, because that's what it was made out of. Now, watch this. Very interesting here. Here we go. God's creating again. Ready? Before he starts creating, look what happens. Verse 6. There went up a mist, a little more than a mist because it covered the earth. The NIV calls it streams, and the New Living calls it springs. There went up a spring of water. It was coming up from the earth. That's important. Now watch what happens. As water comes up from the earth or coming up out of you, up out. See, water's got to cover the earth before God starts creating stuff. There went up a mist, there went streams, there were springs from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Everyone say, whole face of the ground. Why was that important? Because the earth had to come back underwater. The land came up, but now God needed to create something. And in particular, he's going to create man. So what he had to do, put it back underwater. You see that? He had to go back underwater, say, I've got my land now. But now I got to create. So what is he going to do? I'm going to cause water to spring up. Oh, well, spring up. He calls that well and it covers the whole face of the earth again. So there's water all over the ground. Why? Because he's got to go back into that soil out of that dust and create man. But he's not going to do it till it's covered with water first. Everyone say booyah. Even if you don't know why you're saying it, just say it. Hallelujah. He had to baptize the earth in water before he could create. God does not create anything until he covers it with water first. He's not going to create anything up out of you until he can get you into the water fully. If you want the creative power of God, take a dip and stay there. When that person told me soaking, he had no idea what he was talking about, but now I know what he was talking about. I had no idea what he was talking about soaking. I mean, how is that going to create power? I sit here, soaking. He's coming up under the water, see? Because the water fills you. Something happens with that water. I'm going to tell you what happens here in a minute. I got the revelation while I was talking to Pastor Chuck, but I didn't tell him I got the revelation. I just acted like I already knew that. But I was telling him, I go, that was good. But he didn't hear me say that. I'm like, I can't believe I said that. Of course, he just thought I already had the revelation, and I didn't want to tell him I didn't have it. I love it. From the earth, it watered the face of the ground. So here we see water cover the ground again. Then he starts creating again. You see that? He creates man out of the dust, but you can say the watered dust. He's creating man out of the mud. That's why Jesus, he spit in the mud, you know, start some of that creation stuff again. God's always using water. He even left a testimony of the water. All those people that needed miracle signs and wonders, you know, all the people at the pool of Bethesda waiting on the waters to stir, he left that testimony. Somebody had to come stir the waters before anybody gets healed. God is all around the water. The devil wants to close your well off. Just as soon as Isaac just dug that well and got it flowing, the devil showed up and said, that's my well. Yes, right. He doesn't have this kind of living water. He has no defense for this kind of living water. When it shows up, it has the creative realm in it, and he can't stop it. It instantaneously overcomes his kingdom, both in the financial, in the marketplace, in the ministry, souls, miracle signs, want to deal with physical ailments. The water will overcome everything, but there's something that has to take place first. I actually gave it to you, and you missed it. So, now God has man created. Now what's he going to do? Now he's got to water the earth to get ready for the creation. So what does he do? He brings up a river, verse 10. And a river come up out of Eden to water the garden. I mean, anybody knows, any farmer in here knows, we're not really an agriculture society more, but anybody knows you're not going to grow anything without water. You want to cut off a nation, just cut their water off. You kill them. Overnight. I mean, you create a desert situation. There is no life without water. That's in the natural. God put that all around us. But in the spiritual, we think we can bypass the water and go try to go birth something for the kingdom. We get a little rain on our ground. All of a sudden, we start sprouting. We go out and give it away. And then we don't know why it doesn't keep multiplying. Because you got rained on. Wouldn't it be ready to prime that well up? If you knew that there was generational inheritance in that well for you and your family, and that you could live by waters flowing out of you instead of waters flowing out of your flesh by the sweat of the brow. If you knew that you could wake up, get these waters prime, and when you went out to the work field, the marketplace, things would start happening automatically because God was multiplying the water, you would start paying more attention to what was inside you. But we don't pay attention to what's inside, but you don't know what's in that water. That water is a whole lot more than just the presence of God. That water is his fullness. So when he brings this Eden, this water, into water of the garden, he splits it in four parts. But it goes to Pison, Gihon, Hadikiel, and Euphrates. And each one of those means something. Pison means increase. Gihon means, from the root word, bursting forth. So these waters are bursting forth with increase. Very first thing we saw was increase in the finances in church. First week, didn't do nothing differently. You know why the water was flowing? When the water flows, it does things miraculously. Anna comes up to me, she goes, I don't understand it. She goes, we still haven't even got paid, and we have money in the bank. She goes, we haven't had money like this in a while. You remember though in Haggai, I talked about bringing your money home and had a bag of holes in it? You'll never satisfy that kind of bag. You can just keep dumping money into it. That's why very wealthy people, even some of those people, those sports figures, make $30, $40, $50 million and they end up totally broke and they don't know how. It's a black hole. You'll eat everything up. When the blessing's there, it starts multiplying. Nobody's going to understand the creative way the creative realm multiplies. It just does. If you got water on your life, I promise you blessing is going to start showing up. If you don't have water on your life, a desert will show up. Even nature will teach you that. If you have no water, then you can't be blaming your desert on God. Because there's no water, and saying, God, it's not raining. And God said, I put the well inside you. And he told Moses to speak to the rock. You know what the rock was? You know, the rock was Christ. More importantly, the rock was the cornerstone that was set into Zion. I lay a stone, a precious cornerstone. I set him in Zion. I set him into the right hand of God. When did he get set there? At his resurrection. What was he? A priest. A high priest and a king. So wouldn't priestly waters flow out of him? Wouldn't kingly waters flow out of that rock? So when you speak to that rock, what do you see in that rock? Because what you see in that water is what's coming out. And you're going to have to speak to it. Nobody can do that for you. You got to learn to talk. Learn to speak. Amen. A man's innermost being will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and through the increase of his lips shall he be filled. For death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that indulge in it will eat the fruit of it. What will you be filled with? Whatever you're speaking to. You need to understand this about confession too. Confession with empty words will take you a whole long time to arrive to your destination. I'll say it like this. Confession without revelation is going to take you a very, very long time to get where you're going. Before you start speaking to something, you got to get a revelation of what you're speaking to. You see what I'm saying? I used to speak and speak and speak and speak because it was words without revelation. But I know it's in that rock. So when I go speak to it, I know what I'm calling out of that rock. I know what's in it. I have a revelation. If the living water's flowing, it's going to produce favor, advancement, promotion, goodness, mercy, power, glory. All right? So Pison and Gihon was bursting forth with the increase. Hadikiel and Euphrates, Hadikiel means swift, rapid, see? So it starts with increase and it burst forth. See, it burst up out of you and then it becomes swift rapids out of your bellies flowing rivers. Say rivers. And Euphrates means fruitfulness, swift rapids of fruitfulness. That's the multiplication stage. First, it burst forth with increase. And then it begins to flow swiftly with fruitfulness and increase in divine multiplication. Amen. In the light of this, a birth of a baby. I've had to be a mother today and study about birthing. Amen. So listen, when you're birthing, and ladies, I'm not going to teach you anything, but that baby, when it's born, I'll just read it to you the way the experts read it because it's much better. Listen, it says, it's born in amniotic fluid, they call it, which is just a highly classified term, water. The first 5 months that that baby is in the womb, he's in literal water. Say water. Submerged in water, baptized in water, under the water. Why? Because God's doing his creative work, getting ready for the birth. You have to saturate. You have to baptize creation itself. You, me, everybody in this room were born out of water. This next move of God will be born out of water. Revival, we be born out of water. We are not waiting for revival. Revival's already in the water. We got to identify it and get the rest of us in the water with it. You live 5 months in a womb, just the water. It wasn't until after 20 weeks that water started transforming into different nutrients in the womb. But the whole time it was in water. That's why when the water breaks, the baby's coming out. You lived in water. You breathed water. You inhaled water. Say, I am a magnificent creation. You were born in water. Born out of water. Not one human being on the face of the earth was born without that process, a creative process that God always uses to birth anything. When the creative realm of God is at work, there will be water. There will be submersion in the water. There will be baptism of water. And nothing good is not coming unless it's in the water first. I gotta get myself in the water. I said, God, get me in the water. Get me in the water. Ooh. That's pretty good stuff. The whole earth was born out of water. Adam was born out of water. That was a time shadow. See, Adam had to come out of the earth. God had to form, but he had to be underwater first. God formed him out of mud. You understand that water was there first, and then he reached past the water because that water, you were born out of water. Why would revival be any different? Why would creative miracles be any different? It's just a different type of water. It's called living water. It's spiritual water, an eternal wellspring of it that's been put in place inside you with a promise that it would flow out of you. Oh, man. Give me a baptismal pool of spiritual water and I'm jumping in. We jump in. Everyone say, I jump in. Shaka booyah. You guys ready for some more? Go to John chapter 2. Now, this is his very first miracle. Don't you know that the Holy Ghost, the Father, and Jesus already got together and figured out, look, the first miracle we're going to do here, we got to make this one special. Special. Because God's going to preach a tremendous message in this first miracle. Okay. They're in Cana of Galilee and they're called to a wedding. Isn't it amazing? We're about to be called to a wedding. John chapter 2, we're about to be called to the wedding. And the third day, do you know we're living in the third day of human history? Since the cross, the third day of the Lord is 1,000 years. We're in the third 1,000th year now. We're about 11 years into it. Hallelujah, about to be 12. Next year's going to be the year of the apostolic government. It's going to spread across the earth. Whew, we're getting ready. We got to get under the water, my friends. We got to get under the water. But more importantly, you got to get a revelation of the water you're under. Because whatever water you're sitting up under, you better have a revelation of it. Because that's what you're bringing forth. You better know the fullness of what's in that water. God had to take me for a whole year, the right hand of God, to let me know what was in the water. I had to go to heaven to find out what was in the water inside me. I had to stay there a year to realize there was an inheritance in that water. There was fullness in that water. That water would flow to the Dead Sea and transform the whole Dead Sea and make it alive again. It would flow to the Mediterranean Sea and convert the Sea of Commerce to the Kingdom of God. And all that water living up in your temple. That's what the devil's definitely afraid of. But don't ever underestimate him. He's pretty much quenched the water from the entire body of Christ. God is bringing waters out of our flesh, and we don't even know it. Being nice little citizens, just mold in there, go to church, have a good time, jump, shout every once in a while. But don't touch that water. Boy, when I started speaking that water those first week or two, God almighty, I had more stuff break out. Not good stuff either. It's crazy stuff anyway, but the living water started flowing. Got all that stuff now, just goodness. Back into the goodness and mercy. Whew. Learning to drink. Last night I had a just incredible thing happen. I was caught up, I was immersed. When I go in the right hand, I'm so used to going up, but now he's teaching me how to go in. But going into the kingdom of God was so different because I had no focal point. And so now that I have a focal point, see, I see it as water. So it's very easy. What do? You dive into water, and that's very natural. So I go into the depths, deep call to deep. I go into the depths of the water. Last night I had some kind of baptism. Now, the Lord showed it to me like this. He goes, do you remember when you were a little child? When I was young, I loved to swim. And one of my favorite things to do, I'd go to the deep end, and I could hold my breath a long time. I'd dive in, I'd go all the way down, and I'd sit Indian style in the deep end. If there was a weight down there, I'd just hold on to it. You know, they put different things in the pool. And I remember I liked the feeling because all this noise that were going on the top was not affecting me there. In fact, I read an article of, he was a Japanese billionaire, and he come up with the most incredible inventions. And they asked him, how do you do this? He goes, I sit in water. He goes, I do my best thoughts in water because I leave this earth dimension and I get into water and it calms me and I have another perspective of things. It releases. Why? You're in a different jurisdiction when you're in water. And I remember that. And the Lord said, how you need to think about spiritual water. You got to go into a different dimension. You got to go into a different place. And when you do, you'll escape the noise. Do you know why Jesus walked on the water? Because he lived underneath it. He lived in the living water. You can't live in the storm and think you're going to have authority over the storm. Where he lived was in the calm underneath the storm. While everything's raging on top of the water, underneath the water, there's nothing but calm. Do you understand that? If you're deep enough, the waters will be calm. Even when there's storms raging, it all depends on where you want to live. If you keep living up in here and you're going to get caught up in the storm, you got to get submerged into the water. Now, Jesus is at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, and he says, get the water pots of stone, right? He goes, get me six of them, the number of man. Now, what does he say? Fill the water pot with water. Because I'm not going to do anything until I fill it with water first. He had to fill the water pot with water. Do you see that? He had to put the water over the earth, put it over Adam and the baby. You're filled, you're in water. Immerse the water. You are the water pot, and it's not going to happen until you get filled. Everyone say, fill the water pot. That's what I all day long. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill my water pot. You got to work this thing. You got to work your faith. You got to work it. See it. Say it. Speak it. Meditate it. You got to work the water. You got to prime it. The water won't do not do anything up inside you until you decide with your faith to draw it up. More importantly, you decide your faith to get into it. Now, are you with me? All right. Let me take you for a minute. Back over to Ezekiel. Go back over there. I'm going to show you something amazing. Now, you remember that he led him out into the water. What, he led him to the ankle, to the knees, the waist, and then he gets overhead. Let's take it from there. Verse 5. And he measured off another 1,000, Ezekiel 47. But now it was a river I could not cross. The water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in. In fact, King James said waters to swim in. What was it? The water pot had gone out into the deep. You see the baptism of water there again? There's nothing flowing to the Dead Sea until Ezekiel came overhead. You see that? The water pot was filled. Everything we've talked about. Why did he have to take him out there and get him like that? This was, I said, why do you got to do it like this? And he told me, he said, Ezekiel was the church. He said, I got to get the church overhead. He goes, you want to know why? I said, yeah. You know what he said? Let man have dominion. When he gave man dominion, man lost his dominion. Man regained his dominion at the cross. Now that he regained the dominion, he needed to take your dominion and walk it out into the living waters, because God's living waters cannot flow to the Dead Sea without you. If he could have, he would have already done it. If God can come save the world without us, he would have already saved the world without us. Amen? He has to have human agency. Why? Because he gave the earth its resources and entrusted the gospel to man. And what he's working with is your dominion, but what makes it happen is the living water passing through your dominion. So your dominion has to be baptized in living water. And the problem was, we're in ankle deep. He doesn't have our dominion. He had to get us all the way out into the water, the church, until we go overhead. Once we're overhead, we've met the condition by which God bursts everything, because we're now underwater. But more importantly, the dominion of man has been brought into submission to the water. Now the Holy Spirit says, I now have what I need. I've been brooding over this water, waiting for you to come out in it. Now that you've come out into the water, I've got your dominion. I can now pass these waters and I can cause them now to begin flowing to the Dead Sea. And everything that's dead's going to live. From that position of going overhead, your pot has been filled. He called it in Acts, and they were full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. And the room was filled with the Holy Ghost. You were filled. But he didn't come to represent himself. He said, yeah, I send my Holy Spirit. He didn't come to glorify himself. He said he will not speak of himself, but he will receive what is mine, and he will declare, disclose it, and transmit it to you. He'll receive what is mine, which was the inheritance of Christ, declare, disclose it, and transmit it. So what are you being filled with when you are full of the inheritance of Christ found in the living water? He's filling you up with the living water until you reach overhead status, our full status. When we reach the full status, the dominion now has been soaked, permeated, submerged, immersed in the living water. Something miraculous happens now. Now the miraculous has that miracle working life giving living water has the authority now to flow into the earth, because it's now been given man's dominion. Now God can flow it into the earth because it's passing through your dominion. Before, it could not go to the Dead Sea. Once you got out there and you got immersed, what do? He backed you right back out of that river. And he says, now watch it, because now that river is in you, and out of your innermost being would flow in it. I'll turn it to the Dead Sea rivers, and I'll turn one to the Sea of Commerce, and I'll turn the other one to the Dead Sea. And everything that's dead is going to live. The fish of the sea are going to get converted. There'll be salvation. There'll be miracles. There'll be creative power flowing both in the marketplace and in the world. There's going to be the creative king priest government of God increasing and materializing into the earth, because the water has now met your dominion and it's interacted with it. Isn't that good? All right. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Let's watch this in live demonstration. You want to see it live? Well, not live, not yet, but we're getting there. Now, go to Matthew chapter 3 real quick. I'm going to show you this in the ministry of Jesus. I'm going to show you exactly what I just said in Ezekiel. I'm going to show it to you in the ministry of Jesus. Are you ready? What's the first thing that has to happen? Jesus did no miracles until he went to the Jordan first. What's the first thing that happened in the Jordan? You had to get baptized in the water. Why? To fulfill God's mandate for creative power. Creative power always births out of water. And more importantly, water to swim in, or water you're fully immersed in. I've been waiting a long time to understand how the creative stuff of God works. I'm talking about the stuff that's going to get them out of the wheelchair, get that DNA reset into their bodies, how maimed body parts will grow onto somebody. It's all out of the creative water flowing up out of your dominion, but your dominion baptized in the creative water. And the Holy Ghost is doing it all. Now, he's coming to the baptismal waters, verse 15, and Jesus answered, Matthew 3:15, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He goes, we got to do this, John. You don't understand what we're doing. This is showing the death, burial, and resurrection, but it's also going to birth his anointing, because when he comes up out of that water, the Holy Ghost falls on him. And he starts his ministry. He returns in great power. Why? He went under the water. Church is not going to have this kind of power until they go under the water. That's just the way it is. Verse 16, Matthew 3. And Jesus, when he was baptized, it's a Greek word. It means to fully immerse something underwater. That's why the sprinkling doesn't do. You got to go under. I mean, you got to get dunked. You got to live. But we're not talking about natural water. I'm just showing you something here about the living water. Now watch this. And when he was baptized, he went up straightway, what? Out of the water, out of shall flow. The earth came out of the water. Adam came out of the water. The baby comes out of the water. Ezekiel waters, they flowed in the Dead Sea out of. See, when Ezekiel came out, then they flowed. When the church comes out of the water, they're now ready to flow. You see that? All right, out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open. They're going to get open for us too. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. He lit upon him. All right. He was ready. This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. And bam, it be gone. Right there, the show was on. The creative demonstration of God began. Now, with that in mind, I just want you to go to Luke real quick. Luke 3. Okay, we're going to see the same baptism. I just want you to look at it. Luke 3:21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. Okay? Same baptism we just looked at. It doesn't give the example like Matthew did, so I wanted you to see it in Matthew. So he gets baptized here in Luke chapter 3. Right? This is Ezekiel, the church going all the way out into the waters and going fully submersed into the water, right? He comes out of the water. Now look what happens. Go to chapter 6. Look what happens now. What happened? Jesus said, out of your innermost being would flow rivers of living water. What happened to the waters of Ezekiel? They begin to flow into the Dead Sea, and the creative power of God began transforming. Now let's see if these waters don't flow out of him. Are you ready? Luke 6, verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people. Say great. Of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. The whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him. And he healed them all. Say, virtue went out of him. And he healed them all. This right here is the picture of the creative power of God flowing the rivers of living water after the baptism. I'm not talking about going and getting baptized in a tub or in Chuck's pool. I'm talking about being baptized in living water. You got to get submerged and you got to get filled. You got to achieve the position of being filled. Not the one-time baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have to be filled. Everyone who's used in the early church were filled. And see, this water flowed out of the virtue, flowed out. Out. The waters flowed out. What was in the waters? Healing in the waters. Whew. Pretty good stuff, huh? I found this commentary And I just flipped it when he said this. This is Gill's expository, his commentary. It's on my computer program. He's one of the guys. There went virtue out of him in great abundance as water from a living fountain. There went virtue out of him in great abundance like water or as water from a living fountain. In Psalms 36, he's called the fountain of life. I am abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house. You maketh me to drink of the river of your pleasures, for with thee is the fountain of life. As the Father had life in himself, he gave to the Son that had the very life of the Father, and the Son put the life in you in the form of living water. And the fullness, the DNA of that life has his full inheritance sitting in the water. The water is meant to drink of. You're supposed to be drinking that water. You're supposed to be baptized in that water, and you're supposed to have that water flowing out of you. When we start living by waters flowing out of us, things will start changing very drastically. Your whole landscape of your life will start changing. But if you want to birth the creative part, the heavy duty stuff, you have to go overhead. You got to get your pot filled with water. You have to be fully immersed and fully baptized. However, you can drink from the living water. My soul is as a watered garden, and I will not sorrow anymore at all. You can also speak to the rock, and it'll bring forth a blessing. It'll bring forth a blessing, but we're looking for more than a blessing. I want the full king priest government to come out of that water. I want it to flow to the Dead Sea, and I want it to flow to the Mediterranean Sea. But more importantly, I want to see the creative virtue. I want to jump into that creative virtue. Amen. Oh, let's give him glory. Hallelujah, Father. Wow.